Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, folks. I'm Roland Martin. Welcome to this special edition of News One Now on TV One. Every 4th of July, you can guarantee exactly where I will be. That is Essence Festival. It is the largest live event in the country, bigger than the Super Bowl, bigger than the NBA All-Star Game, Indianapolis 500, more than 400,000 people descend on the Crescent City every year to experience Essence Festival. And our cameras were there. We've got some great stuff over the next hour. We'll talk with director Spike Lee and his wife, producer Tanya Lewis Lee, about his first baby, She's Gotta Have It, coming to television. Also, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, man, she is all up in Donald Trump's stuff. She talks about why she goes so hard against the president. Plus, my man Tank talks about his latest album and what's up with him feeling my feather pocket squares. Chef Huda, guess what? She's talking healthy eating in New Orleans. Man, that's difficult. Plus, we'll close this thing out with gospel singer Ja'Kalyn Carr about her latest projects. But first, we kick things off by going to nearby Metairie, Louisiana, where I visited the set of Queen Sugar for a sit-down with creator and director Ava DuVernay. What up?
Hey, how are you? Welcome.
All good. Glad to be here.
Welcome to the set of Queen
yes,
Sugar.
Yes, on the set, not far outside of New Orleans.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody, and they said, I don't know. They said the show moves too slow. And I said, you clearly don't understand pacing, and if you actually have been to that part of the country, that's how it is. Mm. And it's interesting, as I've watched the first season, even the second season, how pacing plays it. Pacing is sort of its own character, if you will, mm-hmm. on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it's not for everybody, but it's for a lot of people because our ratings are spectacular. So I think folks are falling into the rhythm of the show, which is very deliberate. I want you to look at the details. I want you to take time with these people. When you walk into your house at home, everything's not moving as fast as it does on television. So what we're trying to do is slow it down and allow you to immerse yourself in the reality of the lives of these characters. And so it was a very pointed decision, something that we talked about when we first launched. And I wondered at that time, would people embrace it, especially black folk, where we don't see a lot of those representations on television, where we're allowed to take our time to live our life. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, the ratings show differently, and the response that we get shows us that people are into it.
And what is it about sound that is so unique in terms of how you use it? How silence, wind, I mean, all it's interesting watching it. As I watch it, I'm going, that's deliberate. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times it's just real quick. Mm-hmm. And there are moments where you allow silence to actually speak.
Sure, yeah. I mean, silence is one of the most powerful languages we can use as filmmakers. And we really go about creating Queen Sugar as if it is a film. I mean, when I created the show, and with each episode, we're looking to bring in cinematic principles. You know, black people deserve to see themselves rendered on television using pristine cinematic principles. That it means the best lighting, the best sound design, the best color grade, all the things that people shouldn't think about when they're watching the story. But just know that that goes into the mix when we're putting this together. That you're looking at something that's been made and crafted in the same way that I craft my films for television. And so that's done with, you know, some of the best shows on television, but those shows don't center black life. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like we deserve to see ourselves that way. And so that's, silence and the colors and the framing. And, you know, I one of my favorite compliments that I see on Twitter is, this looks good. They look good. People don't really,
right,
you know.
Right.
Some people say the cinematography. Some people say, ooh, it looks like a picture. I saw a tweet the other day saying you could watch it with the sound off and still enjoy yourself. I mean, these are the things that make me say, oh, people are noticing the extra work we put in to make it look good.
I was at ABFF, American Black Film Festival, mm-hmm. and was chatting with Dondre and his wife, Sally Richardson Whitfield. And we were talking about her directing one of the shows. And so it was very interesting in terms of talking with her, just that whole process in terms of how you select the folks who work on this show, as opposed to the fast food sort of get in, get out sort of process, being very particular about who you want.
Absolutely. I mean, all of the crew is handpicked. Paul Garnes is my longtime producing partner, worked with me on Selma in Middle of Nowhere. And the woman who basically kind of runs the set is a black woman, very rare. We have all women editors. We have all women directors. We have a black woman post supervisor, super, super rare. Black woman composer. A woman music supervisor, a black woman DP. You don't rarely see it.
Latino man
as a DP. I mean, our work here is really to say, you know, there are other voices that can make beautiful things beyond what the industry centers.
But you're also saying they're not hard to find.
Because
what happens in any conversation, whether it's television
but they
or movies
are.
Or media. Well, no, when people just actually, but oh my God, and I'm going, well, but if you actually open your eyes.
You have to look a little bit because they've not been given the opportunity.
Right.
But if it's important to you to bring in other voices, they are there.
And they exist.
They're just not going to be, of course. Yeah, they absolutely exist. And so we know they exist, whether it's A Wrinkle in Time or whether it's Queen Sugar or whether it's the 13th. You know, I can't work in a space where I'm the only one. And so often our show creators, our directors have been asked to kind of work in a vacuum to create something authentic. And everyone around them is not able to share in the authenticity of the creation, right? And so, we try to make sure that we empower lots of different voices, and I think it comes out in the wash. It looks good.
Earlier you talked about when you are looking on social media and you see these comments. I was sharing with one of my staffers. I don't think other black people, I'm talking about people who even work on my show, others really understand what it feels like to get black love from people who watch.
It feels good. There's a connection with our audiences, people who are in the public eye or who create, that is so, I don't know, there's a spiritual connection to it. I think part of it is because of the absence. Mm-hmm. There isn't enough of these images. So when they see them and they see them done right, when they're getting information from you that means something to an opinion that they can relate to, talk about, when they're seeing images that they can nod their head and talk back to the, you know what I mean? And be like, I know this, I know how this feels, like, wow, this is beautiful, look at how we are. There's a sense of grace that I feel. Yes, it's been really nice for me because I've only been kind of doing this for about 8 years. So each year I feel like a little bit more people know me. So it would start where, like now and then when I go out, someone will stop me. And now it's almost every time I go out. And it's lovely. It hasn't gotten to the point where it's, you know, it's not Oprah level where you're like, it's too much, I can't even hear it. But it's so just lovely because I like to stop and ask people more questions about it. And for me these days, when I see someone coming up to me, black, white, woman, man, whatever it is, I'll try to figure out which project are they going to talk about. They're going to say they love Selma. They're going to say they saw 13. They're going to say they watch Queen Sugar. What are they going to say? They love Scandal. What are they going to say? And about half the time I'm wrong. Because you can't peg people based on what they look like.
I was,
you know what I mean? I had an older white woman walking up to me, and I was like, oh, she's going to say she loves Dr. King and so on. And she was like, Ralph Angel.
I was in Dallas, and I'm going to speak at Delta Sigma Theta at a luncheon, so I'm going there. And this bro walks by, and pants are sagging. He's got Timberlands on. He got a grill. All that. That's why I walk by, and I speak to everybody.
Yep.
Bro, how you doing? I walk by, and as I go by, he goes, TV One. Turn around, like, Roland Martin. Man, the stuff you drop on the show. And I'm going, okay, I would never have thought he's watching the show.
Yes.
And it was, I was kind of like, okay.
That's great.
When you think of the folks who are on this show, when you look at the actors. Many of them have done other projects as well. It is interesting when I talk to them off air, and then when you look at their characters on there. And specifically, I talk about Omar Darcy. I always mess with Omar because when he did Ray Donovan, I literally every week on Twitter wanted him killed. And so I said, "Dude, you have no idea. You need to thank Ava that you're on this show." I said, "He's like, man, you were killing me every week." Yes. He said, "So finally, I have a character where I can actually live." Because yes. I was going after him.
Yes.
But it's amazing to see what he does and how people are relating to, and I'm purposely say, a non-traditional brother. So he is not the typical Hollywood chiseled, curly hair, wavy hair, you know, Mr. Suave, debonair. And sisters, all I see, man, if I can find me a Hollywood. Yeah. But it's just, and we know that brother.
Yeah.
That's an uncle, that's a cousin, that's a daddy. We know exactly who that cat is.
Well, who he is amplified because you can see him in relation to the woman that he loves. So a big part of Hollywood is Vi. I mean, we love Hollywood because of the way he treats Vi.
Right.
Period. And so just to be able to show the complexities of their relationship and the purity of their relationship every week is something that I think is really nourishing for us. Just a hat tip to all the men out there who love their women and who treat them right and who treat them well. And there's a lot of them.
And it's not an aberration.
It's a lot of them out there. And I just didn't feel like I was seeing that hardly enough on television. Mm-hmm. There's always a problem, right? How about just the brothers that are solid, that are just doing it right and doing it well? And so he is, and they're great together.
So you came to D.C., and I remember. So we're on this plane together, I think. And then one of the brothers wasn't there to pick you up. So we drove you into town. We're in the car, we're just talking or whatever.
Yes.
And so every time I see you, you're sort of like the kid on Christmas who has this huge smile going, "Oh, I get to open a new gift." It's not, "Okay, I gotta go ahead and do this thing."
Right.
It's that you really are having fun.
I know, isn't that great?
You're on Periscope, like, just on a location shoot, just like way too, I'm going, "Okay, it's Christmas again."
Yeah, it is. That's a nice observation. It feels that way. It feels that way. Because, you know, I didn't pick up a camera until I was 33 years old. And I had a job that I liked before, but it wasn't my calling. It wasn't what I was meant to do. And a good friend of mine, named Oprah Winfrey, always says that the best way that you can honor God is to step into your calling. And that doesn't always necessarily mean, having some kind of big career. It may be to, you know, be of service to someone else or to be present for your family. But when you know what you're meant to do and you have the opportunity to do it, then every day's a gift and it's never work. So this doesn't feel like work to me. It feels like, look at what I get to do today. Mm-hmm. I mean, and yes, the days are long and they're crazy. But of course, some days it gets a lot and you're kind of like, "Oh, I'm overloaded today." But overall, when I write down my five things I'm grateful for every night, which I do, sometimes it's people coming up to me, that lady who came up and told me this in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to call action today and how it feels when you say, it's a great feeling. You say action, people start to move and say words. What? You say cut and they stop.
I have a different action on my show. Move your ass. That's just a different.
Yes, a little different. Don't be Steve Harvey moving people.
No, don't be mean to people.
No,
but the brother I did it to, he busted out laughing when I said it. Now the other people on the show saying the same thing. Henry, move your ass.
Right,
and so,
right.
So now it's a thing. Oh no, it's a thing. Yes.
It's a thing. But yeah, it's good things and it's blessings all the time. So I'm enjoying it.
The power of the word no. Because you turn stuff down, and a lot of people, why would you? You were tied to a project, and your deal was, if it's not right for me, it's not right for me.
Sure. Yeah, no. I mean, I think we have to be discerning in what we do. I mean, the thing about directing is it takes so much time, right? An actor can come in and they can work on something. Let's say the shoot is a 40-day shoot. They work for maybe 50 days, a little bit of prep, and then the shoot. Mm-hmm. For us, I've got to prep it, I've got to shoot it, and then I've got to edit it together, post. It becomes a long thing. So I can only really commit myself to something that I love because I'm going to be hanging around with this thing for a year. And then the days are not fun
mm-hmm.
because you're doing something that you that you didn't really love. So I just try to find things that I really, really enjoy, like this new one, Wrinkle in Time. There were some other films that I was looking at before, but they just didn't catch my heart like Wrinkle did. And so, you know, I don't know if people are gonna like Wrinkle, but I love it, right? And so that's the first thing that matters. Yeah, you gotta love it. Put the love into every frame.
Last question. I can't end this interview without asking you about Arrette.
Yeah.
Being a rebel.
Come
on. I'm a rebel.
You've been writing with Arrette when it was a firm, when it was, I remember the first, you said Sally Richardson's name. I remember me and her on your show for I Will Follow, talking about Arrette, the very first Arrette film. You've supported me through everything I've done. And all your platforms,
absolutely,
wherever you were. I appreciate it.
So how's it going?
It's going well. We have our 16th acquisition. So when I spoke with you, it was one film. 16 films that otherwise wouldn't have been distributed by women and people of color, mm-hmm, that are now out in the world, screening in theaters and screens all over the place and on Netflix. It's been beautiful to have that idea and to work in concert with so many film lovers around the country, mm-hmm, to keep it going, coming up on our 10th year.
Stay tuned to News One Now on TV One for more of the 2017 Essence Festival.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
So they call me Uncle Roro, and all of a sudden, Auntie Maxine, oh, it's got to be interesting to you,
yeah,
what the reaction has been,
yes,
from this millennial generation.
I am just still amazed at the fact that I've been adopted by the millennials, and these young people, it caught me by surprise, and I didn't know that they had been waiting for someone to speak in a way that they felt was authentic.
Yep.
And so they adopted me, they latched on to me, and I'm delighted to be called Auntie Maxine.
But that's what it is, though. I mean, I've had people say, they say, Roland, dude, you know, you 48.
Yes.
How,
yes,
you got cats who are 18 and 20?
Yes.
It's called speaking unapologetic truth.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You do it. I do it. We need more people doing it. And at this time in the history of this country, it is absolutely imperative that we speak truth to power.
And the thing about it is, I tell people all the time, I said, oh, I don't hate the president. But what I said on ABC, I said, I won't respect somebody who can't respect the office himself.
Absolutely. And that's basically what I've been saying. And when I did not attend the inauguration, I said, you know, the inauguration for a new president coming in, it's about welcoming that person. It's about showing that you honor them and you respect them and you're looking forward to working with them. I didn't feel any of that. I don't respect him. I don't honor him. I think he does not deserve the office of the presidency of the greatest nation in the world. And I want him impeached.
And what we're seeing now, we're seeing him being who he is. The attack this week against Vicky Brzezinski,
yes,
Joe Scarborough.
Oh, yes.
And all the people like, oh, my God, I'm shocked, I'm stunned, I'm going, I'm sorry.
No.
Where have y'all been ignoring the last 30 years?
Oh, yes. No. He has defined himself over a long period of time. And whether we're talking about disrespect for women, whether we're talking about racism, don't forget, he and his father did not allow blacks to stay in their apartment units. They discriminated against them. And then, of course, all of the stories about the way that he treated some of the contestants walking into their dressing room while they were dressing. And so he really has been defining himself. And clearly, in the campaign, he absolutely told us who he was. And like Maya Angelou said, when someone tells you who they are, believe them.
Now, while so many of our folks have been obviously focused on Trump and what's been happening with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, I've also been trying to get black folks to say to the Democratic Party, no more political sharecropping. When I look at the amount of money being spent or lack of on political consultants, on black folks, when it comes to our grassroots organizations, I'm telling black folks, no, we must challenge everybody across the board. So, and we don't wait until June of 2018 to go, hey, what y'all gonna do? same thing, challenge everybody to make sure we get our fair share.
Well, I've been talking with our new chair, Mr. Perez, and he says he gets it. As a matter of fact, he has been engaged in a lot of conversation with black women.
That's right.
Who have been voicing their concerns about it, with elected officials and with others who have supported our party for so many years but have never felt that the party was reciprocal in the contracting and other kinds of things. So I think we're on the right track, Roland.
Well, one of the things that I've made clear, Steve Phillips had him on my show,
yes,
is the top eight Democratic organizations, DNC, DCCC,
yes,
DSCC,
yes,
Democratic Governance Association,
yes,
Emily's List. I'm going to call every one of their leaders, and they got to come on my show to tell me what's the black plan and what's the black spend.
Well, I tell you.
And then if they don't come on,
yes,
they're going to catch hell.
But that's a good thing to do. As a matter of fact, that's what good journalism is all about. It's about not only educating, but digging down into the weeds so that people understand how things work. And if it's not working, you can help give it some exposure, and perhaps you can help correct some things and change some things. So I welcome that kind of journalism.
Last question, or last for you. And I've asked everybody this. How does it feel being here? Just in your words, explain what that black love feels like.
Well, you know,
When you walk through, when people see you.
Yes.
I mean, just that reaction from the young women of Stars when they saw you.
Yes. Well, you know, I love Essence for bringing us together. And people are sometimes somewhat isolated all over the country, living in areas they don't have representatives who represent them. They don't have anybody they can talk to. There's no Democratic club oftentimes. If it is, it's weak, etc. So when we come together at Essence, it gives us a chance to do some real networking, sharing information, and not only getting connected with others who are doing things, but finding out exactly what can an individual do. What can I do? What can you do? And so when I walk through here and these young people gravitate to me and they want to take pictures and they tell me they love me and they wrap their arms around me, I want to tell you that's the best feeling you could possibly have. Elected officials don't get that kind of love,
you know,
because oftentimes young people don't trust us.
Journalists too.
That's right, journalists too. And so here I am in the midst of a world of young people, brilliant, creative, bright young people who are saying, Ms. Waters, we love what you're doing. What can I do? And I'm saying, tweet, tweet, tweet. And I'm saying, stay woke.
Folks, do not touch that remote. We've got more great stuff from the 2017 Essence Festival right here on News One Now on TV One.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Y'all, we here at Essence with the Lees. The Lees. What's going on?
Oh, we're just here
having a good time. They told me I had an interview with him. They tell me he was bringing you.
Oh, they didn't tell you.
They didn't tell you that.
That was a secret.
Oh, that was a secret.
That was a surprise guest.
A surprise guest. How you doing? I'm all good, man.
You look good, baby. You look good.
You know, look, when you here, first of all, my daddy told me, you know, when you go out, put some clothes on. Daddy said, you know, you got to look clean. You got to look presentable.
Well, you learned that lesson very well.
That's how we do.
I was just admiring that watch.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, because we're here in New Orleans, and I got to see what time it is in New York, and then we'll see what time it is in L.A., then Tokyo, too. So I'm just, you know.
What about color people time?
There's no need for a watch for that. Yes, that's called no watch.
Oh, dear.
That's color people time.
Bad. Yeah.
So, man, how y'all doing?
Good.
So, forget everything else. I've been asking everybody this question. For you, what does it feel like, literally, when you're here and the level of black love?
Deep.
It's a beautiful thing. It's like, first of all, it's like being at a family reunion, being down here. All the people that we see that we know, and all the people we don't know, and the love you get, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a wave. It just comes in waves.
Right.
Black love.
And I tell people, You can't come here being special.
Nah. You get called out.
No, no, no. You sit here and...
You get called out.
But
you think you so
but
so
that's
so
not
so
even
so.
The fun of it, right? I mean, that's the point of being here, to see people and connect.
I tell my staff, literally, you know, we do lots of interviews, and I tell them, I say, look, I cut off at a certain point interviews being back here because I walk the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I said no.
Be with the
people need the touches. They need to see you.
Yeah. And these are people listening to your show nationwide.
Right.
And you're right here.
And what you get from doing that,
absolutely.
I mean, what you get from connecting with people that you otherwise might not have a chance to meet. It's just awesome.
And I'm always telling our folks, I say, look, always have the cameras rolling because the stories you hear, that you miss it. One year, man, we were sitting here and we were about to pack up and everything. And this woman and her friend, they show up in the doorway. She goes, oh, my God, Roland Martin. She had two kids. They were not older than 9 years old. And both of them said, Roland Martin, we watch you. Right. So you're sitting there going, I said, how old are your kids? She said, 7 and 8. I don't care who you are.
Right.
Now you're understanding who you're impacting.
100%.
Which is why I tell people, you got to be able to touch folks.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Got to be able to do it.
And thank goodness Essence is here to allow us to do that in this way for these days.
Absolutely. So first of all, what are we working on? Because you got all kind of stuff, and you got all kind of stuff, and y'all got your own separate stuff, which is good.
Yes.
So ladies first.
Okay, well, we're here today to talk about She's Gotta Have It.
Yep.
Which I think everybody knows was Spike's first film.
No, never heard of that. tell me about that. What was that like?
Yeah.
It's coming on Netflix.
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
As a 10-part series this time.
10-part series.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was Tanya's idea to make this into a TV series. I never thought about it.
Whose idea was it?
Tanya's.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that conversation go?
No, Spike, you need to do this.
Well, I mean, you know, Spike and I were talking about working together. You know, I mean, as you say, I work separately. He has his things. And we were like, well, you know, we should do something together. And
besides have kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which we do very well.
That
together.
And practice.
Yes.
Yes.
And our daughter, Safra, just graduated
yes,
from NYU this past May.
All right, then. Daughter, shout out. There you go.
Tisch School of the Arts.
All right.
So we do children well, and we thought, okay, let's find something to work together on. And so we were kicking ideas around, and I said, you know, why not think about She's Gotta Have It? And I'll tell you, at the time, Spike was talking about gentrification in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, why not show what you're talking about through your work? And so we decided to do She's Gotta Have It.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes she's got a couple good ideas.
I, to be honest, I did not see it. I never thought about it.
And then that idea, and then how did it get to?
Well, we got a couple no's before we got to Netflix, and two sisters there in exec positions, they rammed it through. Three sisters, if you count Pauline.
Yeah,
Pauline Fisher,
right.
Tara Duncan, Lane Eskridge.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, doing 10 parts is totally different from the film and when you did it.
And 30 years later, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what was it like for you now being back in that, revisiting something that was your first, but now it's a whole different vibe to it?
It was exciting. It was revigorating. And just the talent that we were able to put together. But... I mean, some of the people in it weren't even born yet when it came on 86.
It's amazing.
You're like, you're gonna be She's Gotta Have It. I need you to go see the DVD.
Exactly. But yeah, like Spike said, the cast is amazing. DeWanda Wise, who plays Nola Darling, all of the three guys, Lyric Bent, Cleo Anthony, Anthony Ramos. Just really a phenomenal cast, a new take, a new twist,
mm-hmm.
30 years later on these
all
characters.
All shot in black and white?
Nah, color.
Oh.
Could have ran that one through, baby.
He tried. You know he tried.
Oh.
You know he tried.
I was hoping it was going to be all in black and white.
But it comes out Thanksgiving. You know, Netflix, you just dump.
Right.
Right. And the final episode, the 10th episode, takes place on Thanksgiving Day.
Wow.
So it's...
And Spike is amazing. I mean, you know, I know he's my husband, but he's a machine in that he shot all 10 episodes himself. I think directed all 10 episodes himself. I think mostly when people do episodic series, you know, they may shoot the first and the last, but Spike did all 10.
Why? Because of that personal?
It's my baby.
You had to get it right.
My baby, the first one. We shot it in 12 days, July 1st, to July 14th, 1985. Wow. 2 6-day weeks. Total budget, $175,000. Went on to make $8.5 million at the box office.
You had a little bit more money on this one.
Yeah, I'm quite sure. I'm sure craft services were a little bit better this time as opposed to go down to the corner and get a bag of Funyuns.
Exactly.
and a soda pop. That's going to feed the whole crew.
Yeah.
You know what? We use those empty bottle soda cans for nickel deposit to buy film, too. To our rolls of film.
Usually we use everything.
Had to.
Everything. Yeah. I'm going to switch gears. So I'm sitting here the other day, and I am watching television. And then all I see is this.
Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm sitting here going, did he really give us the thank you, Lord pose to the firing of Phil Jackson?
It had come to that. And here's the story. That was on my Instagram.
Right.
But I had no idea that New York Post would put that on the front cover, and the Daily News put the same thing on the back cover, and the ESPN would pick it up, too. So it had nothing to do with that stuff.
Absolutely crazy.
But, to be honest, though, people were rejoicing in New York like it was like...
But when y'all going to get it together? I mean, because...
This is the first step.
Because, you know, I love all these New Yorkers who try to trash my Rockets. And I'm like, you know y'all have only beaten us once in the last 9 years. You know, then, of course, I got to remind them the NBA Finals. But they don't want to talk about that. But I'm telling you, because I really do. Because the last... When I was in, I guess, a couple of years ago, when the Rockets played Madison Square Garden, y'all, I'm telling you, first of all, when we air this, I'm going to show y'all the photo. Spike got all his New York Knicks gear on. And so when I said I was going to the game, I said, I'm going to go to the game in all my Rocket stuff. I had the red and white shoes. I had the Rockets pants with the logo, the shirt, the jacket. I had the black and red Houston Rockets gloves. Then I had the Rockets Santa cap. And I walked up to him and I went.
You all are too much.
He's like, man, get out the way. All that Rocket stuff. And we blew him out that night. But the league would be better if the Knicks,
were better. Right.
What? We need those rivalries. Do you care?
I would like to see the Knicks win again. Okay. I mean, when Spike and I first started dating, we used to go, oh, my gosh, it was so much fun. I mean, it's been a long drought, you know?
Long. Last time y'all won a title, the original Shaft came out.
Yeah.
73.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be fun. It would be good. It'd be good for New York.
That's back in the back.
Yeah. That's how, when I know how to get a Knicks fan, I go, yeah, Richard Roundtree was doing interviews when y'all last won a title.
That's cool.
It works every time. Every time.
That's cool.
What else you got going on? You got this dropping Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Working on anything else?
Well,
what you got?
We got to push it. Press.
Absolutely.
You got to press it, you know.
I just finished a film that called Monster. Mm-hmm. We are planning to take it around a festival. So hopefully you'll hear more about that next year.
But of course.
Yeah, for sure.
What's it about?
It's about a 17-year-old young man who finds himself on trial for his part in a robbery that goes wrong. Mm. It's based on a book by Walter Dean Myers. We've got an amazing cast, Jeffrey Wright, Jennifer Hudson, A$AP Rocky, a young fellow by the name of Kelvin Harrison Jr., who's amazing as our lead.
And who else in it?
John.
Oh, yeah. Well, John Legend is producing with us and wrote an amazing song. Good. And John David Washington, Denzel's son, who's also known for Ballers, is in it, who is great. I know I'm forgetting somebody else who's in it. But we've got an amazing cast, and I'm really excited to get it out there.
All right, then. Well, look, it is always good to see y'all.
Always.
Always doing your thing. So
you too.
I see you. And let me tell y'all something. It's true. So Spike was speaking in Chicago. Your sports book came out.
Yeah.
And we had never met, and I decided to go by the book signing. And I don't think I was on CNN, but I'd been done television appearances. And he saw me, he was like, you be saying some good stuff. And people were looking around, they were kind of like, who the hell is this brother here? Just sitting here. the first time. And then, of course, so we've had great conversations.
Yes,
over
the years.
Every time I see her, I go, how's Me Ink doing?
He does.
We were at the CNN cafeteria.
Absolutely.
Sitting, talking about.
Right. And I've got a and I have a multivitamin that's out now called Movita. I have my health advocacy that I'm doing, and
doing
it's
it.
All about the brand.
That's it.
And you're 100%
you know,
right.
If anybody knows about brands,
hey,
it's you.
Hey, I believe in multiple revenue streams.
Got
and
to.
Absolutely. And just wait. In another 5 years, we're going to be sitting here having a whole nother conversation.
We'll be right back with more from the 2017 Essence Festival.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Now, folks, who can come to New Orleans and not experience the food, but you still got to eat healthy? We'll chat with Chef Huda, who's known for her healthy recipes.
So just finished Essence Eats. Wanda Durant, one of my wonderful friends, the real MVP, just came by to say hello. It was a fun time. We made a smoked turkey jambalaya. Simple, easy, my version of jambalaya, because we're in New Orleans, so I have to say my version. But it's really great. I love Essence Festival because it's us at our best. It celebrates Black excellence. I get to see Black girl magic. I get to see our brothers representing. And I get to hear some legends. Diana Ross, Chaka Khan, Mary J. Blige. The list just goes on and on. It's one of my favorite festivals. It's been a little crowded on the floor, but it's wonderful. It's nothing but love and support. And it's always great to see us in numbers like you see at Essence. And just having a good time, having fun. So I think not only during the summer, but all throughout the year, I always tell people dieting doesn't work because you're trying to take away everything that you love. Life is really about balance, and being healthy is about balancing. So we are in New Orleans, and a po' boy is really not your waist friend, but it's so good, right? So you want to balance things. You want to make sure you're eating your greens, you're having nice salads, you're having fresh veggies, you're eating a lot of fresh fruit. There's wonderful fruits during the summer. You want to make sure that you're getting those fresh items in. So when you go off the deep end of indulgence, at least you're balancing it. And know that it does not mean having a triple cheese hamburger with bacon and then a Diet Coke. Balance it in real life. Balance it with veggies, fruits, and fresh items. Indulge in that moment, enjoy your life, because you only get one, right? But maybe the next day have something lighter. Maybe start with your breakfast, have something lighter where you're including fruit. You're including egg whites into your diet. Maybe have a lean meat that isn't fried the next day, or a lean protein. Maybe go for seafood the next day. It's really about just balancing out and making good decisions so you can be here to have a wonderful life. I am so excited. I'm working on my first cookbook. I'm known for my healthy comfort food, but I'm also known for my more indulgent dishes, like my mac and cheese, my shrimp and grits, which is Anthony Bourdain approved. So I'm really excited to bring those recipes and bring some of my history and some of my story to the world. So those updates for that will be on my website, chefhuda.com. And we're also working on a web series that will be out later this year. Those details will be on there as well. And we're also working on a food product line. Some food that is delicious, pretty, and home cooked with a lot of love. For the turkey sausage, smoked turkey sausage jambalaya, listen, jambalaya traditionally has pork in it. It has chicken, it has seafood, depending on where you go. And that's all fine and great, but I like to always offer alternatives. So in my jambalaya, it's tomato based, obviously, but we have nice spices, we have a little sweetness. We also have wonderful colors because of the bell peppers. We have spinach in there, just for a little green and a little vitamin boost, if you will. So, and with the turkey sausage, because it's not a pork sausage, it's lower in fat and cholesterol, and it's a little healthier for you, and still you get that great flavor that you love in jambalaya.
Keep it locked right here on News One Now on TV One for more from the 2017 Essence Festival.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, we're here at Essence Festival 2017 with Tank, what's up, man?
Come on, baby. Come on,
always
baby.
Seeing you.
Come on, baby.
We appreciate you doing the interview with your shirt on.
I thought about giving you a little bit more pectoral.
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, tell y'all something. Tank is going to be the new Jeffrey Osborne. Y'all know Jeffrey. Jeffrey has stopped wearing the sheer shirts on stage. I mess with Jeffrey all the time. I do his golf tournament. I said, Jeffrey, your official golf tournament for us when you're going to be all sheer shirts.
I said, Jeffrey, how many sheer shirts
you got?
Yeah.
So he went and he said, well, I got to represent for the 60-plus dudes. So when I'm telling you right now, when Tank hits 60, you know, it ain't going to be as like it look right now.
Yes, it is. Why not?
Tank going to move to the sheer shirts.
Why can't it still be?
Yeah, you ain't going to look that way, Tank. So, I mean, I know you think. I mean, I know you thinking.
I just want, just let me believe.
Yeah, go ahead and believe.
Let me believe.
But your ass going to put that sheer shirt on. Going to be looking out there like a 60-year-old man butt naked. At least with the sheer shirt, it still looks.
It still gives you a little illusion.
Yes.
I love it. Thank you, brother.
All good, man. So how many Essence festivals you been to?
I don't know.
This is my ninth consecutive.
My career started at Essence Festival. Mm-hmm. Before anybody knew what a tank was, they let me perform at the House of Blues in 99.
Wow.
For 30 minutes. Songs nobody knew.
So that was 18 years ago, so that was the fifth Essence Festival.
I was on.
So this is the 23rd.
I was in the House of Blues. It was packed. It was like, give it up for Tank. And everybody was like, who? And I performed for 30 minutes, songs mm-hmm. nobody knew.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my introduction to the world.
The thing about, again, I've asked everybody this and we had them talk about it. I just don't think people sitting at home really understand the black love that you get here.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's...
That you can get nowhere else. That you can get nowhere else but Essence Festival. I mean, us as urban artists, as black artists, when we say, hey, we're trying to launch something very important and we need the people, we have to go to Essence. That's just what it is, period, point blank. And
it's the largest live music festival in America.
Yes.
Not black.
Yes.
Period.
Period. Yes.
Not what the hell, Coachella or Lollapalooza or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. This is the largest in America.
That's right.
That says something.
Says a lot. Says a lot. And I've been blessed to be a part of it. You know what I mean? A lot of people come and they're here, you know, to spectate and kind of be on the outskirts of it. And I've been blessed to always be a part of it, part of the driving force that continues to keep the thing going. So I appreciate that moment.
But also, let's talk about being accessible,
mm-hmm.
where people mm-hmm. can touch you. They mm-hmm. say, "Nah, baby, I want a hug."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I listen to music, or they might remember something long time ago, whatever the heck. That to me is also, I think, what is so special, which is why, you know, I got to be where the people
Absolutely.
Are. I mean, even on you know, when concert nights, you know, I might be sitting, you know, on the second row. Thanks, I think as a guest of Coca-Cola, but you know, I'll go to the back. I'll walk the floor
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just to wave at people, just to mm-hmm. say hi to them.
Well, it's that old school mentality, man. It's that old school campaigning. It's that old school shaking hands and kissing babies and really, like, even for my music, what I'm doing for music right now, music is not a thing. Just because we have the internet and we have all of these things where you can touch people virally mm-hmm. and digitally, that's one thing. But I'd rather knock on your door. And when you come to the door, you're like, is Tank at my front door? Like, that's
right.
Those
right.
are the type of moments
right.
that last forever. Those right. are the type of moments that connect you to people for the duration of your career. They always want to know where you are, what you're doing,
right.
and if you're gonna come back to their house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the moments that I love, and that's what Essence is. We're gonna go downstairs and walk the floor in a second. It's gonna be crazy.
I tell people, I tell myself, I'm letting y'all know, we walk the floor.
It's gonna be crazy.
We walk the floor.
Let's speak on the feather.
All right. So
give me some game about the feather.
So here's the deal. So Steve Harvey and I used to go at it at Essence with Pocket Squares. You know, Steve thinks he's the Pocket Square guru. He's not.
He's not.
So I'm at a St. Jude Mardi Gras fundraiser in D.C. And this dude had a purple and yellow feather. And I went, where you get that from? And they would just, it was a fundraiser. So he said, oh, it was $200. He said, gave $200. And it was like on a stick. And he had it in his pocket. And I went, hell, my sister, she do arts and crafts. And she's my sister designer. She paints, make bags.
Yeah.
I mean, she can bling paint. I said, hell, she can make that. I ain't got to spend $200. She can make that. So I went home. I said, look, I need you to make some feather pocket squares. So she sent me about 20 different feathers, different kind of feathers. And I'm like, change this. This is too long. This, do this, the other. I said, I'm going to debut these at Essence.
Fire.
And so I got the picture. So I tweeted it. I had all my clothes laid out on the bed. I had, because, you know, you got to lay out the suits,
first day
the ascots,
first day
the cufflinks,
yeah.
The shoes, the socks, laid everything out. And so I had all arranged. And I text Steve Harvey, wait until we get to Essence. I said, I got something you ain't never seen. Man, I hit him with the feather pocket square.
So the feather's new?
No, this is now the third, fourth year. And all the brothers were like, so I don't know about what's up with you and these feathers. I said, first of all, I ain't never wore something for a dude.
Period.
Period.
Or not wore something.
Sorry.
For a dude.
So we at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
I got the feather pocket square.
Yeah.
It's the Christmas party.
Come on now.
So we in line, take a picture with the First Lady and President Obama. So he goes, Roland, really? He said, so you just not going over the top. First it's the ascot. He said, and a feather pocket square? So why he yak, this is the First Lady. Oh, this is real nice. I said, see, this ain't for you. I tell the president, I said, see, you see what's happening? This
you
ain't
see,
for you.
This ain't.
This is for her. So while you over there chirping, she's like, well, I like
she's
this.
She's appreciating like the goodness. This.
So I tell dudes, yeah. While you hating, she's standing right here.
Right here. Appreciate.
While you like, yes. You doing the feather pocket square.
Yeah.
I said, your cotton pocket square don't elicit that reaction.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to buy some pocket squares, some feather pocket squares.
And when you hit
from your
I'm
site.
Telling you, they... Cats, women are like, oh my God.
I'm gonna give you all the credit.
One, you gotta keep your shirt on because you gotta have a jacket.
Yeah, I gotta. I can't stick the pocket square to my chest, to my titty right here. It ain't gonna work.
It ain't gonna work. But I'm telling you, dude, I hit on all kinds. Women like, oh man.
You do it. You do it, brother.
See,
you do it. You do
I said,
it.
If you ain't a regular brother, you can't wear regular pocket square.
I'm a connoisseur of,
oh, yeah.
of what you do, and you
oh, yeah.
do it.
So, you know, do a little something.
Appreciate it.
We ain't talking about music, but, you know, talk about everything else. So tell what the album is so they can get it.
Album comes out in September. It's called Savage. The first single, When We, number one added song in the country, Urban
All
AC.
Right.
So When We speaks to the aggressive portion of the sexual experience.
All right.
So sometimes the furniture gets to moving.
Right,
and
right.
Somebody gets to knocking on the door wondering if there's a crime being committed. So this song is the soundtrack.
Okay,
to
all right.
That
then.
Moment.
Amen. When We.
When We.
Damn it. Stay tuned to News One Now on TV One for more of the 2017 Essence Festival.
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, fam, it's time for some inspiration with gospel singer Ja'Kalyn Carr.
I have a new, actually single first, entitled You Will Win, and the album following that, but the single and the book is a collab. The book is, as well as the single, is just talking about unleashing that champion that's on the inside of us, helping us to understand that there's no obstacle too great that we can't overcome. And so we're just declaring that you will win, you know, you will not be defeated. And even if you have been defeated before, you know, what matters most is what you do now to make sure your future doesn't look like your My favorite song on this album, besides You Will Win, is Stay With Me. Because it's a personal song, and it's just really us really embracing the presence of God and really realizing what He means to us. And the song is really, you know, when you think about company, because they're company, they come up your house, at some point they have to go. You know, but with God, my desire is that He stay with me for the rest of my life.
You may be seated in the presence of God, Look at somebody and tell them it's time to trust in God.
I started speaking at the age of 13 because my music career really didn't blast off until I was 15 years old. And so, but now over a period of time, there's a 50-50 balance.
You're bigger than the disasters I've seen. You're bigger, you're so much bigger, Jesus, than what this life may bring.
Number one, being able to inspire people through my music, that's my number one goal. And being able to share it with the world is my second goal. And so just being able to help them see themselves in a better way and grow in life and help them to understand that it is God's intention to see them blessed, their families blessed, and everything about them blessed. So it was great being able to have that top album.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have for this week. But don't worry, next Friday, part two of our trek through the 2017 Essence Festival. Unbelievable show. Comedian Marlon Wayans, crazy hilarious. Plus, H-Town's Loretta Devine and Dennis Haysbert. The cast of Orange is the New Black. Donnie Simpson. It's going to be a crazy show. You better tune in right here. News One Now on TV One. I'll see you next week.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.